Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to my new show. This is Steve Rivera. I'm glad to be here. It's called Eye on the Ball, and I'm here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. We'll have a two-hour show. Very excited to be here. Gracious enough to be asked to do this. Many of you guys know me from doing shows on other stations. Very happy to be here. Excited. A little nervous, but excited nonetheless. I'll kind of spend the first 10 minutes of the show kind of explaining what I'm going to do, what we're going to talk about. I'm not a big sports guy in terms of NBA and NFL and stuff like that, but we can get to that every now and again when we get some calls. But my format's mostly going to be about storytelling, people on the show talking about their lives, what sports has meant to them, and who they are. In the first hour, I'm happy to have Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame horse trainer, who's won two Triple Crowns in the last 4 years, an unbelievable guy that I've met a while back. In the half hour, we're going to probably talk to Juwan McClellan, the former U of A basketball player from about 15, 13 years ago. He's now a police officer in Houston. Looking forward to talking to him there. And then just yesterday, kind of news broke that the Pima basketball, men's basketball team, is ranked number one in the country. So we'll talk to the head coach, Brian Peabody, a local of Tucson and a guy who's lived and loved basketball all his life and has been the Pima coach for some time now. I hope to have a lot of fun. Maybe people make people laugh a time or two. And as you can tell, I kind of sometimes speak too fast and I mumble and stumble my way through things. But I hope to have fun with everybody. I hope you guys call. When I have a lot of guests, I'm not sure how many calls I'll take because my time will be spent talking to them. But if it's important and you want to talk to them, we'll get to that as well. The funny thing about it is I've always considered myself a guy for a face for radio, and now here I am. So here we are. The good thing is I have a guy behind my screen or the screen, and his name is Bob Dio. We've known each other for a while. We've done some work together for the El Tour to Tucson, so he's going to be helping me on the phone lines. In fact, probably in the second half hour after 1:30, we're probably going to give away we will be giving away tickets to the game tomorrow night between Arizona and Colorado. So we'll probably take the first caller, but we'll do that later on the show. So that's kind of the format. Thanks for joining me on this. Bob, can you hear me? I'm excited to have you with me.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited over here. Of course, I can hear you.
Great.
Great job, my friend. What a great question, though. Yes. I'm actually not texting, and I'm listening.
No, that's the whole thing. I'm such a rookie at this. I'm thinking, hey, hello, okay, here. Yeah. Of course, that's your job. No, and Bob and I will talk about a few things, you know, sports-wise every now and again. I'm going to probably get him educated in some things, and he'll definitely get me educated in this, a new format that I haven't really spent a whole lot of time on, only as a guest, as I said. But looking forward to a lot of different things. We'll talk about a lot of the local sports, and I talk U of A football, U of A basketball, a lot of the minor sports involved in that university that's always changing. It's changed a heck of a lot since I've been here in 30 years. I arrived here in 87, covered Dick Tomey in his first years, and then I moved to covering Lute for another 23, I think it is, and then have covered Sean Miller since he arrived here for a lot of different people. So looking forward to that. And then we'll be talking about Pima sports every now and again, like we are today. Big news out of the basketball program. The soccer team is doing very well, the boys' soccer team, the men's soccer team. And then we'll talk to high school coaches. I know the high school scene is starting to pick up in football-wise for playoffs, so that should be a lot of fun as we get closer to that. Today it's going to be an everyday show, 2 hours. So I'm going to have to come up with a lot of material. It's funny, as I was preparing today's show and then tomorrow's show and then next week's, I'm calling some of my friends that I've covered for a number of years and trying to get them on the show. I won't say who they are, but a lot of them don't live in Tucson, so either they're coaching in college or they're coaching somewhere else, time zone conflicts. So I'll be trying to track them down to get them on the phone for at least 10 minutes, 12 minutes every show if I can. And you'll know the names. At least the names will be familiar to you because you've heard them before, and I've written a number of stories about them. So here we are. I hope to have some great guests. Like I said, it's not easy finding those guests or tracking them down, just like being a reporter back in my days of the Tucson Citizen and for Fox Sports Arizona. But it's a lot of fun. So it's mostly about storytelling and having fun. Bob, real quick, I know you're big into El Tour, but what other sports do you follow?
You know, I think throughout the years, it's mostly college basketball that's always interested me. But, you know, I have to say, it's kind of like as the UVA football season goes throughout the year, as we so many times, the season starts to go downhill. No offense to any players. I'm just sorry. I mean,
this is a sports talk show.
Talking about 40 years here of, you know, UVA football that, you know, we always joke, my wife and I, well, basketball season's just around the corner, so then we wait for basketball season and hope that the basketball year goes well and that we can make it, you know, a few rounds into the playoffs at the end of the year for March Madness, you know. So
sure,
that's where I'm from.
Sure, no, and that's perfectly. I think you're a typical sports fan in Tucson where they follow college basketball because they've been so good for so many years.
Yep.
And they hope they do well in the tournament. You know, the season is the season. But everything happens in March, and everything that matters happens in March. In fact, I wrote a story a couple days ago after the exhibition game where they played Western New Mexico, and it wasn't that big a deal. It was an exhibition game. They killed them by about 50. And I said, nothing matters tonight, and nothing will matter in November, and nothing will matter until March if they get called into the tournament, because that's when it really matters, and the success there is what's important. So we'll see. As for the football team, you've been here long enough to know that there's a good season, and there's a bad season, and there's a bad season, and then there's a good season, and they're not consistent enough to be, or they haven't been consistent enough to be kind of like piled on in terms of enthusiasm, because there's always those people that have skepticism, because there's a good day and there's a bad day. So we'll see. In a few minutes, we'll try to reach Bob Baffert. He's in Louisville. It's a big weekend for horse racing, and it's the Breeders' Cup, and he has about 15 horses, I think, in the next couple of days that'll be running for him. One of them is a horse that has local connections, and we'll talk about that. Two very good friends of mine who own that horse, and he's a fantastic horse, and will be running in the big classic. So that sounds like fun to me. I wish I were there. So we'll see what happens with Bob Baffert. And then, of course, Joanne McClellan, who played here and had a pretty good career. He had a lot of injuries, a lot of setbacks, personal. His father passed away, and now he's a police officer. So here we go. Anything else, Bob?
I got Bob on the phone, so.
Oh, okay.
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Well, how much time do we have with him? Like 6 minutes?
You still got a couple minutes to your break.
Can we go to him?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Before the break.
Let's do that. Yeah.
You can say hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's going on?
Good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in. And then I'm excited because you're my first caller for my first show.
Well, that's good. I'm here in beautiful, wet Louisville, and we're ready for starting tomorrow.
You're living a dream. You're living a dream out of my, you know, your life. For me, I followed you since Real Quiet, 20 years ago, and you're the trainer for two of the best guys I know around in Tucson, Carl Watson and Paul Whiteman, who I think the world of. I call them the Carboys because I think you guys do too out there.
They are the Carboys.
The other Carboys. Tell me, I saw a horse. Maybe 5-6 months ago, fantastic horse called Mackenzie, and he's running in the classic in a couple of days. He's their horse. I thought he had a chance at the Triple Crown. Then he got hurt. Tell me, how's he look?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, I really thought I was going to win the Kentucky Derby with him, and then he hurt his hind leg. It wasn't bad, but enough to where I had to miss 60 days with him, and fortunately, you know, he got to freshen up and he didn't have to run against Justify. And, you know, everything worked out for a reason, but he's come back, won a $1 million race off the layoff, and he looks really good. I think he's going to be right there. And, you know, nobody's talking about him too much, but, you know, we like to sort of go in under the radar, but I think he should run really well.
Well, I saw him in the San Felipe. He had that baby won, and then he got DQ'd for whatever reason. It was a fantastic ride and won it, but was moved to second. So then I watched him, and he got hurt, And then he came back, what, I think a month ago, and he was fantastic in that ride, I thought.
Yeah, he was. You know, it's so hard to come off a long layoff like that, go a mile and an eighth. It was a real deep racetrack, but, you know, he just has a lot of talent. You know, only the really good ones you can get away with that. And so, I have two in there. I have him and West Coast, who's a really good horse. And, but it's a tough race. You know, you got the best older horses that are left other than Justify. So it's going to be, it's a tough race. But you know what? When they put up $6 million, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
Right. We have about 20 seconds left in this segment. I'm hoping we can stay back on the other side. But real quick, you have 15 horses running in the next couple of days. So it's a busy day for you, obviously.
No, I have about, ten horses.
Ten horses in the next, Okay.
Yeah, and we got a couple in each. But we start out tomorrow. You know, I love Game Winner.
Right.
Juvenile. He's, has won all his out. So, it's, you know, pressure's on. So if he wins, whoever wins that, it's going to be the favorite for the next year's Kentucky Derby. So that's, to me, it's exciting, you know, to start it out. So hopefully he'll run well and have a horse called Improbable. A tier over in the stake early in the day that I think it could be a Derby horse also. So it's going to be fun.
Great. Let's go to commercial and we'll come right back with you, Bob.
Sure.
I'm Rodney Glassman, and I'm running for Corporation Commission to restore integrity and champion Arizona's water future. This race is going to be critically important for agriculture and rural Arizona. My opponents have some radical ideas, but the one that scares me most is when I hear Kiana Sears say she wants growers to pay higher prices for water and attacks Arizona farmers who export crops. A vote for Rodney Glassman is a vote for agriculture and the candidate with real-world experience and a PhD in arid land resource sciences. I grew up in a farming family and served as president of the Pima County Farm Bureau and on the Arizona State Farm Bureau Board of Directors. It worries me to hear my liberal Democrat opponents attack agriculture. I'm Rodney Glassman, and I support ag, farming, and ranching, which create tens of thousands of jobs and contribute $23 billion a year to our economy. Please vote Rodney Glassman for Corporation Commission, and let's protect Arizona's water future and our economy. Paid for by Glassman for Corporation Commission, authorized by me, Rodney Glassman.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. As the sun shines on the Rincon Mountains, Christy Simone wakes up Tucson from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
New fuels are being sold at gasoline filling stations in certain locations. Today, you can buy gas with 15% ethanol, 30%, or even 85%. But these ethanol fuel blends are not best for your mower, chainsaw, or generator. I'm Chris Kaiser, president of the Outdoor Power Equipment Institute, to remind you to look before you pump. Only use gasoline that is E10 or less in your small engine equipment to keep it running strong. Get more information at lookbeforeyoupump.com.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on business.
Well, welcome back to the Eye on the Ball show with Steve Rivera. I'm on with Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. Thanks for holding, Bob. Hey, you started a long time ago, obviously, but when did you find out or when did you realize you had a good chance of becoming who you became? At what point?
You know what? All I wanted to do, you know, when I first started out, I wanted to be a jockey. And when I realized I was too big and really not that good, then I became a trainer. And I just wanted to be train quarter horses, and I wanted to go to the All-American Fraternity in Ruidoso, and I wanted to go to California, Los Alamitos, and that's what I wanted to do, and I did. I did well in with the quarter horse world, and all of a sudden I had a couple of buddy and clients of mine said, why don't you try thoroughbreds out? I was sort of intimidated at first, you know, to go over there, and didn't start out that great, but after, you know, when I I won my first Breeders' Cup with the first Thoroughbred I ever bought. I mean, 30 slews for $30,000. And then I started, you know, little by little, I started getting, you know, getting a little business. But then I had a horse called Cavaneer. He was a Calbred.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he won the Santa Anita Derby. And I almost didn't run him in it because I didn't think he was that good. And he won it. And then I went to the Kentucky Derby, and I was just like, I was just hoping to, you know, if I could hit the board, run fourth, I would have been happy with it. And then he almost won. He had the lead, and he got nailed the last jump. And that's when I thought, wow, you know, this is me, man. I gotta win this thing, you know. And so once you get a taste of the Kentucky Derby, it's like a drug, you know. You have to get back, you know. So, and I just worked hard at it, and ever since, you know, I just kept the pedal to the metal. You cannot ease up at all. It's like being a coach for a, you know,
national championship
team, whatever.
Team.
You cannot.
Right.
You can't let up. You just got to keep going.
Right. How big of a day is it tomorrow compared to the Derby days? Because I know the next 2 days are just huge. Obviously, people who follow horse racing know that. But I don't think the common person does, because the Derby is a huge deal. And then if you win that, you move on to the Preakness, and then you're the Belmont. But the next 2 days are huge because there's so much money involved.
You know what it is? It's the Olympic. It's our horse Olympic, you know. There's different, you know, categories. There's turf, dirt, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, where the Derby is like, it's like the Super Bowl. I mean, that's huge. You went over there. Everybody's focused on 20 horses, where Breeders' Cup, there's just an assortment of different, you know. I like it because it's almost like the Euros against the Americans.
Right, right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They come over. It's almost like the, you know, it's, you see all these European, the best trainers, the best jockeys, all gathered together to try to win these different category races. So then you have the classic is the big dirt race, but it's, you know, the Americans always have an edge over it because the horses that run from Europe, they've been running on turf.
Right.
So we have an edge there.
It's funny. I always admire you, and I admire your son Bodie, because he's always with you at the track, and you see him in the shots of the winning things. And I grew up with my father at the racetrack in Santa Fe at the Downs, and I think you have maybe a connection. I know Billy does back in Santa Fe, but it's very heartwarming to see those stories when their son gets to hang with their dad and enjoy the moments. And then he's kind of with you. I'm sure he's with you now. I'm not too sure. But then I spent about a day or two with your folks 20 years ago when, like I say, real quiet during that time when you came on the scene. And what fantastic parents you have, or you had. Great time. They showed me the ranch. Funny. Your dad was funny. I think you're probably a lot like him. Yes?
Yes, I think we're all, you know, we all grew up in a very humorous family. We lived on a ranch, and we didn't really, our TV was knocked out half the time. So we had a big antenna. It kept falling down. So we had to entertain each other. And so, but he was funny, and he was, we had our own, you know, way of, you know, our humor of, you know, but, you know, I loved, you know, growing up in Nogales there in a small town, and my dad loved the horses. He's the one that got me into it. And I hung around him like Bodie hangs around with me. And so just sort of got the bug early. Otherwise, you know, it was too bad that they weren't around when I finally won the Triple Crown, because they were always my biggest fans and, you know, watched it. So I knew they were watching all the time, so I just felt a little emotional when I won with American Pharoah.
Right.
I figured, you know, I wish they had could have been there to see it, because they always, you know, thought I'd win it. You know, unfortunately, I couldn't do it while they were alive. But I always feel like they're there on my, you know, they're watching over me.
Could you believe what was happening with American Pharoah during that time? What a wonderful ride he put you on.
He was, you know what, we just went today, we went to go see Justify, and he looks fantastic,
right.
And American Pharoah, he's in Australia, but he was an unbelievable horse. You know, not only was he so great, but he was such a kind, gentle horse. He was just, you know, so fun to be around, and, you know, so easy to train, and just, he was just a brilliant, brilliant horse. And then here comes Justify, in the same way, just they're just brilliant horses. And usually horse trainers, they get maybe one horse like that
right.
in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I'm just so blessed and lucky to, you know, have two like that. You know, even Airgate, you know, he was just another one that was just an off the chart kind of horse. So, you know, I just, to me, when people say, you know, like, you know, they talk about all these old gray horses I used to read about growing up and everything. I'm thinking, damn, I've had three of them myself, you know. So it's pretty, you know, kid from Nogales, like anything can happen, you know. So because I'm glad I horse racing, I fell into it. And I remember my mother telling me, you can't be a horse trainer. How can you make a living being a horse trainer? And, but, you know, if you get lucky and find something you really love, and, you know, you can excel.
Well, I know a lot of people from Nogales, and they always, I know Billy, and we talk to Annie all the time, but how much they still think of you as your favorite son. And then the U of A track industry program talks about you all the time, because obviously you're one of their grads. How was that, and how did you get into that? Because you probably, what did you want to do when you grew up besides this? I mean, you went to U of A, became a Wildcat, and then found that program.
Yeah, when I went to U of A, I just, you know, I promised my mother I wanted to be a jockey, but I promised my mother I would graduate from college before I went out and did some crazy stuff with the track.
Right.
So, went there, and, you know, I loved the U of A. It was just, it's just a great school. The campus is so beautiful, and, you know, all my brothers and sisters went to school there, and I really had no idea what I was going to do for, you know, for the first 3-4 years, and then, you know, I started, that's when the racetrack management came in there, I think about the third year, I was there, second or third year, and I took some courses, it was just getting off the ground, but, you know, it's just something that, you know, for people that, you know, want to get going, you know, because, you know, when you're a freshman, sophomore, you don't know what you're going to
right.
do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it just gave me, I loved racing, and, you know, so I took off, I loved animal science, but, you know, U of A has just been really, you know, it was good to me. And I'd like, you know, anytime they ask me to can help out, you know, and encourage some of these students and stuff. Because, you know, I had one son, he graduated from the University of Arizona. So it's and my brother Bill, you know, he and Annie, they live there in Nogales. And Bill's the big real estate, you know, he got into real estate there and still runs a ranch. So, you know, I like to see Bill. So if anybody's selling a home, Bill Baffert, that's your man.
Right. No, he's a great guy, too. We have about a minute and a half.
He's funny. He's actually the funny brother. Everybody says, where's your brother Bill? Because we like Bill better because he's funnier than you are.
Right. Right. He's got a few one-liners. We give each other a lot of grief. But we have about a minute and a half. I wanted to talk to you. You're probably one of the biggest faces from the UA sports program right now. Obviously, I think you were at the Dodger game three or so. They showed you on the TV, and then all the horse racing fame. Steve Kerr obviously is another one. Jenny Finch, when she was doing her thing, that was another one. How does that feel for you? I mean, they flew you here maybe 2-3 years ago.
Well, I mean, I don't consider myself a celebrity, you know, but Joe Buck, he's a good friend of mine, and I did a show with him one time, so he threw me a bone there. You know, whenever they had nothing to talk about, they threw me in there, and so, but you know what? It's fun. You know, my kids, you know, my boys, you know, they all get a kick out of it. But I mean, I don't really think of myself. I mean, Steve Kerr, he was just, you know, I'm not in the same league as Steve Kerr, man. He was not only a great athlete, but a great coach. So, but you know what? It's just, I'm just glad that, you know, these horses, they're the ones that are doing all the running. I'm just basically the coach.
Well, everybody needs a good coach, so good. Congratulations. Hey, we're about out with time. Say hi to the car boys for me. I know they're arriving today, I think it is.
They're arriving. Yeah, they should be arriving pretty soon. They're excited. They're great guys, and thanks for having me. I'm glad. I feel honored that I'm your first caller, so it's an honor.
Good luck, and I'm going to watch Mackenzie and probably put a dollar or two on him. Thank you, Bob.
You got all right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks. We're going to go to break now, and we'll see with Juwan McClellan after the break. Thanks.
I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace. And that would wipe the smile right from my face.
The 2018 holiday season is upon us, and BBB wants to help you shop smart and give wisely. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, reminding you of our Holiday Helper microsite at BBB.org. We have tips for Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday. Don't allow scammers to steal your holiday joy. Again, go to BBB.org. Happy holidays from the entire BBB team.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Thanks for coming back for my show, Eye on the Ball. That was fun talking to Bob Baffert in the first moments of my show. Kind of excited here. I'm obviously a fanboy. I love the ponies, and he's one of the best at it. So now I think we have Juwan McClellan on the phone out of Houston. How you doing, Juwan?
Hey, how you doing, Steve? How's everything going?
Good, fine. Thanks for being on my – you're the second guest on my show on the first day. Thank you for joining.
I appreciate you having me.
Hey, you're living a pretty good life in Houston. We have some questions, or I have some questions about you now, a police officer. But how has it been since you left U of A? Probably about what, 13 years ago?
What's 2018? Yeah, about 13 years ago. It's obviously everybody goes through different changes in life, but you know it's been great. Like I said, I haven't been back. I would like to go back. But you know, it's different because you know that when these kids go to college, you know, they kind of keep you away from everything. You're in a world of your own that's not really reality.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're very taken care of. They pretty much babysit you for 4 or 5 years. So, and then after you graduate, you get thrown to the wolves. A little bit, you know?
Welcome to the real world.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
It's funny. I mean, that's for a discussion that we might have later, but I don't think a lot of universities kind of do coddle their athletes, and when they're ready to see the real world, they're not prepared. They're studied, but they're not in the day-to-day.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah. So tell me, let's talk about your career real quick. You were very good, a high recruit for Loot, came in and then you got hurt. Then your father passed. Just a lot of things that happened to kind of almost derail your career.
Mm-hmm. You know, it, like I say, everything happens for a reason.
Right.
I'm a police officer now. I think it kind of fits my personality. I think everybody knows me as a tough kid. You know, I kind of come from a tough background. So, you know, it kind of fits my personality. I've always thought about getting into it eventually, but that was after hopefully a 10 to 13, 15 year NBA.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to get into it so soon, but I like what I'm doing now. I'm still helping kids just in another way, helping people rather, just in a different way. And of course, like I tell everybody, you know, everybody asks me, you know, what have I seen? I have the best seat in the house to see everything in the world. I see all walks of life, the good, the bad, you know, and the ugly. So, but I enjoy what I do on a day-to-day basis.
After you left, you were coaching for a little bit, weren't you?
Yes, I coached at Yates High School with Nick Wise's dad, Greg Wise. We went to the state championship all 6 years when I was there, and we won four titles.
Right, right. And then what? Do you just wake up one day and say, okay, now it's time to do what I want to do on the other side?
Well, I still was, well, during that whole time, high school coaching wasn't my goal. My goal was to get to college coaching. Actually, Sean Miller offered me a GA spot. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but he offered me a GA spot in 2010, but I couldn't take it at the time because my wife was pregnant with our first child.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't want to just up and leave her, you know, like that, or move to Tucson and, you know, not be there for my first child or take a financial cut, you know,
right,
of that magnitude like that. And then me and my wife had twins 2 years ago. So that's what really decided me to just, you know, kind of give up on the dream or whatever and just try to get into a line of work that's more stable, that's going to keep me here with my kids and still financially secure.
Right. No, and that's a real world. Wow, so three kids now and twins.
Yes, three kids, a girl that's seven and a boy girl, twin duo that are 2 years old.
Wow, wow, wow. So that is the real world. Real quick, I didn't know that Sean had asked you to join on the staff. That would have been pretty interesting and a good welcome back.
Oh, yeah. It would have been a perfect job. But, you know, in his defense, I don't want to make it seem like he didn't try to look out for me or whatever.
Sure.
And like I said, he wasn't my coach, so he didn't even have to do that, mm-hmm, per se. But he did want me to come back. He offered me a job. I declined only because, not that I didn't want to, I just, like I said, $24,000 just wasn't going to cut it for me with a new child coming in the world. So looking back on it, I probably wish I would have took it, you know what I mean, because mm-hmm, I probably would have been a full-time assistant either there or maybe with Archie, some, you know, at Dayton when he went to Dayton. You know,
sure,
you know how the
mm-hmm
things work. But like I said, everything happens for a reason. Maybe it was in my calling to do what I'm doing now, you know.
What was your fondest memory of playing for Lute?
Fondest memory for playing for Lute? Wow, there's so many. Whew, Steve, you put me on the spot. Fondest memory of playing for Lute maybe would be, you know, I think it would be, it maybe sounds crazy, but the day we lost to Illinois.
I still remember that picture, the picture of you on the court. Yeah.
The day we lost to Illinois, and he came up to me after the game, and he pretty much asked me, was I ready to take over the reins of the program? And, you know, and he said, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to see number five jerseys all in the stands? And I said, yeah. And he pretty much was going to give me that title until, you know, of course, things happen. But that was probably my fondest memory, to be honest with you. And, of course, him just being there for when my dad died off the
right
court is my fondest memory, too. So,
right. No, no. And there were some great games. I, in that stretch, there were some very good games. And that game specifically was just a heartbreaker. But you guys endured it and kind of overcame it at the next year. I think because Chase was a freshman then, wasn't he?
Chase came. No. Which one?
Buttinger.
The Illinois game.
Yeah. No. After the no. next year.
No.
Oh,
Mark,
it was Williams. Marcus Williams. Correct.
And then Chase came in. Chase was there the year we got revenge on him in Phoenix.
Right. Right. Now I remember because mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Marcus Williams and then Chase.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens when you get old. You don't want to get old.
Well, you've been around so many players, so you kind of probably get the years mixed up. But that's okay, as long as you still remember the players.
Now, that's right. Right.
If you start forgetting players' names, then that's when we probably have some concerns.
That happens. That happens every now and again too. That's good. But guys like you, some of the good guys, you and Damon and Luke and all those guys were very good to me. So I appreciated that, and I hope that was good to you too.
Well, you know, I've always loved you, man. You've even congratulations on your show, number one. Number two, you've always showed me genuine love because, you know, even when things, I can still remember the day that me and Luke kind of probably weren't seeing eye to eye.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I think we played, it was the UCLA-USC home stretch, and he was trying to figure out why I wasn't playing. Remember, I just wasn't playing
right
for some reason. It wasn't an explanation or anything given to me, and you came to me off the record and was trying to figure out what was going on, and you just sat You just sat next to me by my locker. I don't even think nobody really even knows what was going on, but you just sat next to me by my locker. And, you know, come to find out, Coach just, he didn't want people leaving school early. So that's the time to where, you know,
decisions.
They don't explain. Right. Yeah, they come to decisions. And, you know, I think I was thinking about leaving school. And I think Jordan Hill was thinking about leaving school early. And remember, he didn't play Jordan
right
against Purdue. So he just kind of, I mean, we didn't understand the business side of things then, as opposed to when you get older, why coaches do, you know, what they do. If you don't, if they don't feel like they have enough coming in the following year, certain players, you know, decide to let play freely to leave or not. But, you know, one thing I can always give Coach O, I think he earned the respect of every player that came through the program. He didn't need to explain anything right. to anybody. And he also had the reputation of not holding anybody back, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I think at that time he wasn't all the way right with his personal life, you know, that was probably taking an effect on him on the court. But I still remember that day.
Right. Right. No, so do I.
Sitting next to me by my locker.
I remember that. You reminded me of it, but yes, I remember now. How is it being back home, and do people, I don't know, still remember you from back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Surprisingly, I kind of get tired of hearing about it, to be honest with you, because, I mean, it's refreshing at times, because I think selfishly, in all athletes or former high athletes, we still like to know, to hear how good we were. You know what I
sure.
mean? It kind of, it's a ego booster. And I don't care what no athlete says. They can say whatever they want. You can be the most humbled athlete. When the cheers stop, you don't know how to react. You know what I mean? Because you used to signing 1,000 balls
mm-hmm.
to signing none. You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, I did a story about that. You know, how athletes handled after the applause. When the applause
right.
stops, how do you deal with it?
Right. And then you brought up Damon Stoudemire, who it's a story that why I went to U of A is because of him and Khalil Reeves. It's not even a secret why I fell in love with U of A. And, you know, and I was with him at an AAU tournament. We were talking and, you know, I'm introducing him to my kids and they don't even know who he is. You know,
right, right. It's been that long.
Y'all don't know who Damon Stoudemire is? And they're like, no, Coach. And I'm just, and also in that moment, you know, Mighty Mouse, Damon went from Mighty Mouse to Rookie of the Year to, you know, coaching at Memphis at the time to going back to Arizona. And now he's that specific and certain kids don't even know who he is. You know what I mean? It's just, it's led some players to depression, you know,
sure.
For me back home. Like I said, I kind of get tired of it, but in my, the reason why I get tired is because I get tired of hearing what you could have been.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What you were. So I just kind of get tired of man, if your knees didn't do this and da da da, if your dad, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, it gets a little old. And I'm not one of those people that, you know, likes to dwell on what I was or.
Right.
But it still feels good hearing it from somebody else because you do put a lot of time and effort into the game. You know, let's take Derrick Rose last night. You know, I got kind of caught up emotionally because he's had the same. I know how it feels to have knee injuries and go through mm-hmm. personal perseverance. And he was able to, whether he plays good again, you know, just that one moment in time, you know, was special to him because it shows that you can overcome something.
Right, right. Well, Juwan, thank you for joining me. You're one of the good
no
guys.
Problem.
That's why you're on the show and enjoyed your time. And we'll keep in touch. You know, we talked about coming in the spring or in the fall for the loot thing that we always have. So we'll
yes,
get you here. We'll
yes.
get you here.
All right.
Thank
Steve.
You, Juwan. Appreciate
again,
it.
Again, congratulations.
Thank
All
you.
Right. All right. Bye.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. The man and the legend, John C. Scott on Politics from 3 to 5 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
In many countries around the world, medical care is scarce. From birth defects to serious injuries and illnesses, countless millions have no access to safe surgery. Mercy Ships is there to help. With a team of volunteer professionals, nurses, surgeons, utilizing state-of-the-art hospital ships, Mercy Ships provides free surgeries for the thousands of those who are waiting for surgery at each port.
Mercy Ships is bringing services to countries that would otherwise never be able to access those services.
We just see people that need help. You realize that they have no way of getting help, and I want them to know that they're loved.
Help make a lasting impact and turn someone's fear to joy. Find out how you can help by visiting our website at mercyships.org for more information. That's mercyships.org.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk. As the sun shines on the Rincon Mountains, Christy Simone wakes up Tucson from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley, Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more, to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
Hey, welcome back, guys. This is Steve Rivera for my first show, Eye on the Ball, on KVOI 1030. Thanks for listening. It's been a crazy first hour already. We talked to Bob Baffert in the first few minutes and just got off the phone with Juwan McClellan. I'm glad to have those two guys on my first show. Now we have on the line Brian Peabody, head coach at Pima Men's Basketball. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Sure. Hey, how did you take the news the last couple of days? The number one team in the country at your level.
I think humble. It's always nice to be recognized, but I think everybody knows, or at least you and me know, that it's not where you start, it's where you finish.
Right.
Just going back to where U of A was ranked last year and came out of the gates and lost their first three games in the Bahamas. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to the Pima Aztecs.
It was funny. I talked to you about, I think it was 2 years ago, midseason, and you were telling me that was the best team you've ever had in terms of camaraderie, ability, and all that. And they did fairly well. And then last year, you were unbelievable. You had this great run at the end. So you see the progression, obviously, and what's going on?
Well, I think it goes back to, when we first got here. We took over a program that had only won one game the previous year, and we won 15, then 18, then 21, then 23, and then 31 last year. And we've just slowly gotten better each year, and we've recruited a different type of kid. We're going towards a more high-character kid, an academic kid, kids that are overlooked, kids that are not recruited, and that maybe are humble, that are just willing to work really hard. And we just try to put them together, and they meshed really well last year, and that's why we were so successful.
How was that run, just going through it and believing that you guys were capable of winning the title?
It was a blast.
Was it probably the time of your life?
Yeah, it really was. It was the best, the best season that I've had basketball-wise. Even we won state championships and all that stuff, but what we did last year was, you know, by far the most rewarding season I've ever had.
How addicting was it for the kids? Because once they get that taste of success, it's like they got to have it all the time.
Yeah, and we've got, you know, some key pieces from last year that are with us this year. You know, Brom Carrasco from Choya, who's the player of the year, Robbie Wilson, and those guys are, you know, will be the glue to our team this year. And that's all they talk about to the younger guys, the freshmen coming in, is how much fun it was to play in the national tournament.
Mm-hmm. And this year, so they get that bite of the apple, and now they want to come back. So how many returners do you have from last year's group?
We got about five that will contribute. And then we got a really good transfer, Kennedy Kohler. He's the only kid that's from out of state. He grew up in Nevada. And he went to UCSD last year and didn't like it and is now an Aztec. And so we've got a bunch of local kids, one kid out of state. And, we're at least on paper, we're as good as we were last year. Now, getting them to all play together and the chemistry and all that stuff is a whole different dynamic.
It's funny. You've been doing this a while. You're still a young guy. And what have you noticed through the years about kids and how they like to be coached?
It's funny that we just talked about that yesterday, and I was trying to explain to some of my players that were getting on guys and how they handle it and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just got to be more nurturing and loving and caring and hugging and all the above with kids today.
And they accept that. They like that. We're in a different world now.
They like it. I'm not sure I do. They certainly do.
That's true, because your style is more of getting on them, getting them better, and not that you're not, but you have had to ease up on that?
Oh, definitely, you know, and it's fine. You know, we've got an open-door policy where the kids can come in and talk anytime they want. We just did individual meetings yesterday and continue them today, and just trying to be just upfront and honest with our guys and say, hey, this is where you're at, and this is what you need to work on, and let's move forward.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you can talk to this, but Pima these days has done very, very well athletically. Unfortunately, and the football program is likely going to be eliminated. They're doing still very well. I know the men's soccer team has done very well and other sports around it. But how is the environment in that atmosphere right now? Because it should be pretty good.
It's awesome. You know, I've coached at a lot of different high schools. I've coached Division I, coached junior college, and the staff that Pima and Edgar Soto directly have assembled here at Pima College is better than any staff I've been around at any level. You know, everyone knows what they're doing. They handle their business. Everybody gets along with each other. It's a really good environment to be in.
Right. In fact, I think it's probably a hidden gem. Because, you know, people talk about U of A all the time, and Pima, unless they're doing really well, they talk about it. But, you know, Cosgrove, I know him for a long time. He's done an unbelievable job there. You have done your job there. And even when Skurin was doing football, and now the coach now that has to kind of figure out what he's going to do, has done very well. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. Monaco's done an unbelievable job just getting his guys to buy in, you know, knowing that there's not going to be a season next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's got to be the toughest part, but he's got his kids headed in the right direction, and hopefully they can win, you know, going down the stretch.
So what do you see in the next few weeks as you start the season? I mean, as we talked about at the beginning, kind of it's hard to get to the top. Now you have to maintain what you get to the top, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. We talk to our team all the time. It's easy to get there, and then it's hard to stay.
You know,
we're at the top right now, and we're in a tough stretch because you know, we've been going at this since basically the first day of school. We just finished our four scrimmages. Now we've got to wait until next Friday to play our first game. So we're basically just picking out one or two things on a daily basis that we think we need to improve or correct on, and just try to keep our guys motivated and for next Friday when we play Arizona Christian.
How deep do you go, and is it a different game at that level than it is at the D1 where you have to have like 10 guys, 9 guys? Do you go that deep?
I try to, and I'm not very good at it. My mentor, Dick McConnell, who I'm sure you know, his philosophy was, you know, when he won a state championship, he played 5 guys. When I won a state championship, I played 6. And his philosophy was that guy tired, dead tired, is better than that guy fresh. So you might as well play the guy that's dead tired. So anyway, long story short, we try to play 10. But it always comes down where your bench is going to shrink at the end, and we'll play 7-8 guys. But you know, we play fast, as you know,
right.
We led
mm-hmm.
the country in scoring 2 years in a row. So you know, I'm hoping I've got 10 guys that can play, and I'm hoping to play all 10 of them in every game and keep guys fresh for the end of the year.
It's funny, I had Baffert on earlier, and I had Juwan. I wanted to ask him this question. I'll ask you: what would the Peabody of today tell the young Peabody of maybe 20 years?
Keep your mouth shut.
Because it's good for you?
Yeah, my mouth gets me in trouble all the time. But no, it's just, you know, I really like where I'm at. And I wish, you know, 25 years ago, I would have just taken a junior college job or Division III or Division II and just stayed there my entire career. You know, you got a lot of guys chasing, which I was, the D1 level. And then once you get there, it's so hard to stay, and there's just so many, you know, just a ton of turnover. But if you look at all the coaches that stay today for 30 years, 25, they're all at smaller schools or at junior college, mm-hmm. Division III, NAIA. You know, Jerry Carrillo's been at Cochise for 28 years. So I think I would have just probably tried to pick a level that I felt comfortable, because I really enjoy this level, and I enjoy, you know, Tucson and being a part of the community and stuff. I'm a native Tucson, and I just like, I wish I would have done it at an earlier age.
Yeah, we all have to find our happiness, and you found that.
No question.
Well, success has something to do with it, too, and you're winning, and everyone's happy. It helps, I should say.
No, it does, and we're doing it the right way, which I think people appreciate more. I mean, we're not, you know, I'm taking kids that are, you know, got 4.2 GPAs that could go to mm-hmm. an Ivy League school that are getting their degrees. I mean, we've played school, you know, kids in the Ivy League, you know, Murph Gershman, Colorado School of the Mines, Jake Anastasia, South Dakota School of the Mines. So, you know, the last 2 years we've had 11 kids graduate with a degree from Pima and get a four-year scholarship, and I think 9 of them nobody recruited. So, you know, we're doing it the right way with just good old-fashioned hard work.
Right, right. Well, Brian, thanks for joining me. I know you have to get to a meeting, and I got to close this shop up for this first hour. But thanks for joining me.
Hey, anytime, Steve, and good luck with your radio show.
You too. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Well, thanks, thanks everybody, for the first hour. Bob, am I making you work too hard back there?
No, you are a delight. You are a delight, and I am. You never did radio before?
I've been a guest. I've never done this side of it. But my guest in the next hour was the guy who kind of brought me around, Mike Gabrielson. I'm sure you know who he is.
Mm.
And we talk sports a lot back in the day, and I'm having him here to thank him and then to talk sports like we are right now. I hope to have fun. I'm trying to be funny, but I haven't been funny yet.
Well, as long as you're having fun, you don't have to be funny. Just as long as you're having a good time, everybody can hear that.
Yeah, so. I look forward to it. I was kind of geeking out at the Baffert because could you tell I was kind of like, you know, happy to hear him? And then Juwan's always been a good friend,
yeah,
a good guy.
Yeah.
And then Brian's been around and doing basketball forever. So that was kind of a fun first hour for me.
Wonderful.
So we'll be back in the second hour pretty soon,
yep,
and talk to Gabe.